On this episode of Solutions Insider, host Jody Fleming sits down with Patrick Rose, Director of Supply Chain at Catawba Valley Health System, to discuss home growing the next generation of healthcare supply chain leaders.
So welcome, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you. Really excited to, you know, hear a little bit more about supply chain. It's become incredibly important. I think COVID shone a light on what supply chain leaders are able to do, what they have been doing all along, and what's next for the industry. Really excited to talk to you a little bit more about that. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into supply chain, how you ended up at Catawba Valley Health System?
Yeah, first of all, I'm thrilled to be here. So thanks for the invite to participate in this podcast. I'm excited about it. But to answer your question, it's sort of it's a long story, but it's a very interesting one. I got into healthcare supply chain by way of a personal accident where it was a golfing accident and got blind in an eye. But prior to that, I wanted to be an airline pilot, or an aircraft pilot, and so I couldn't do that route. And so I just picked up a variety of different jobs and came across a part-time distribution job at Shriners Hospitals for Children in Salt Lake City. I still had bills to pay. I still had things to pay for and I needed a job. So I came across that job. So that's really how I got into healthcare, was by way of a personal golfing accident. I didn't have any idea what healthcare was other than being a patient, what supply chain was. And so totally by happenstance.
Interesting. Well, you know, first of all, I have to ask, do you still play golf?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Okay, good. That's it. That's key. And I know that a lot of our listeners would be the one thing that they would want me to ask. Well, does he still play golf, Jody? So that's a good answer. And then, you know, I think one of the interesting things is, as you said, you know, you what you learned from supply chain, all you knew was about being a patient. And think back to that day, you know, when you had to get some form of healthcare, like all the things that took place while you were going through that experience that supply chain has a functionality in, right?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because through my recovery, it was a very long recovery. It was 6 months, 8 months of recovery. And so it was doctor visits at specialists. It was plastic surgeons. It was orthopedic, maxillofacial, optometrists, ophthalmologists. And so being in those different environments, I started noticing those things. So to your point, sitting in those offices and going to these appointments, I started noticing all of those, I would say, supplies and equipment in the offices and at the clinics. And so, you know, through that whole process, it was just, it somehow was branded into my memory or my mind of just the experience.
Yeah. And I, you know, I do the same thing. So once I got into like some form of supply chain, you know, working with GPOs, it was really interesting, because every time I went into a hospital, every time I went to the doctor, right, personally went to the doctor, just for annual checkups or something like that, driving down the road, you know, you see like all like the trucks, the tractor trailer trucks, we've got a contract with them. Or I know that company, we've got a contract with them. So, you know, you do start to like, you look at that and you're like, oh, I'm connecting the dots here, whether it's through logistics or through the actual manufacturer or supplier. So, you know, it's like when you're thinking about buying a new car and you start seeing that car everywhere you go.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah.
It's completely magnified over the years that I've been in supply chain. And to your point, even when I go to the retail store, I'm thinking, why do they have so much inventory? Or, you know, why don't they have inventory? Or, you know, all these supply chain type of questions go through my mind as I'm, you know, whether I'm shopping, or to your point, whether I'm driving, or even here at the hospital, or when I'm at a doctor's appointment. I'm like, okay, I see this, we source it, we purchase it, we know the product, we know the process behind it. So
that brings us, you know, to my next question is, you know, we look at supply chain And we think, you know, healthcare supply chain, because obviously that's the business that we're in, but supply chain is just everywhere. And so one of the questions I have for you, I know you started and have been very involved with Supply Chain Academy, and this started at Catawba Valley Community College. So what inspired you to actually start this academy, and what does this program really offer to maybe young leaders, the new generation of supply chain leaders?
So I started it because of my involvement with interns and working with the local colleges and even high schools, going to career fairs and things of that nature, and just listening to the students who have gone through a particular course or program where they were introduced to operations. Now, it wasn't necessarily supply chain operations, it was business operations, but there was a portion of sourcing or procurement or literally operations of a business. And so as I'm having these conversations, I'm thinking, well, it's pretty common. And so I had gotten two or three interns in through the department. And it was at that point I thought, well, we're missing something here in the community. And I looked around the colleges, and the closest one was either Gaston Community College or App State as a supply chain program, but nothing within our own community. And so I started doing a little bit of research and found that Catawba County has such a significant reach in terms of logistics and distribution, but also manufacturing, transportation, warehousing, and all of these things. And so I put together what I call the thought plan. And so I did it's basically a business plan, but for the program or for a program at the community college. And it was a full on program or thought plan with a market analysis, with all of the challenges, with you know, basically everything that goes into a business plan. And that's really what started it. The idea with the program is to get these students to think beyond what their everyday job is, and to understand what it is that they do has an impact both upstream and downstream within an organization, but not just operationally or logistically, but financially, of course, a logistics perspective, and all a sourcing perspective, and all these different things. So over the course of 2 years, we had a series of meetings with community business leaders. Our local chamber of commerce was heavily involved. Our economic development council government was involved. And so we put together this program to be very comprehensive of supply chain as a profession, and not specific towards just healthcare or just manufacturing, rather every type of industry. And so, again, the idea behind the program is to get them introduced to the different concepts within supply chain and to have them think beyond the role that they play within their respective organization. And if they're not currently in any type of supply chain role, or they're new to it, say they're coming from, they're coming from a job that's not supply chain centric at all, they will be able to still get an understanding of what supply chain is and how it operates and how a company functions or how a business functions through supply chain.
That's really amazing. And I think it's one of those things that we haven't focused on a lot up until COVID. And I think a lot of this always brings us back, you know, to COVID, because this is where supply chain had the opportunity to really show the value, the worth within any kind of industry, any type of organization, as to you've got to have that strong foundation in order to help your organizations thrive. So I think it's an amazing thing that you've done. And, you know, one of the things too, by working with community colleges, you know, I understand that you're a huge advocate for the community college route. So what makes it so important for the development of young professionals and for the local industries with this type of program?
To your point, I'm very biased, and community college holds a very near and dear place in my heart. You know, it took me 8 years to get my associate's degree because it was your very traditional, I'd work a semester to save and then I'd go the next semester and I'd work and save and then go. So it took 8 years to get my associate's degree. But through that effort and the professors that I had, the engagement and the belief in me to finish, no matter how long it took, was so impactful. And so community college, I feel, is that grassroots effort or organization to get someone to really identify what it is that they're passionate about if they don't already. And I think the instructors have a very profound impact on that, because they are everyday working individuals like myself. You know, I'm in the industry, I'm working it. I have a direct relationship to the topics that I'm discussing, and then I'm able to hopefully get that and pass that on to the student. But I want to back up for just a minute. You know, you talked about supply chain and this pandemic and how it really shed light on just supply chain as a whole, but every business and every aspect of it. Through the thought plan that I had presented to the community college and in my market analysis, there was a study in 2016 done where 90% of the CEOs identified and stated that they should be doing more, meaning that the organizations should be doing more to attract supply chain talent. I mean, you might as well just say 100% of the CEOs, because at numbers that high, you just don't come across in, I would say, other professions in terms of trying to grow that talent or doing more to attract that talent, especially when you're talking about non-specific type of degrees or talent. You know, like, and when I say specific, I'm talking nurses, attorneys, you know, lawyers or anything like that. I'm talking just a broad type of profession. So the opposite of that was that only 38% of those executives were extremely confident in their talent. So you've got the CEOs that say, yes, we need to do more to attract supply chain talent. And then on the very same survey, they're saying, well, I'm only 38%, or you know, only 38% say that they're extremely confident in their current team. And so, you know, that goes back to why I had presented to the community college is, I think we can get that talent. We can home grow our own talent. We can reinvest in our own community and our own people within our community for that talent. And so a very long-winded answer, but that's where it comes from.
Well, and I think that's it, having that homegrown talent, like you said, that's important. You know, we're trying to do this with, you know, nursing, obviously. We're trying to do it with, you know, other types of allied healthcare professionals, but even the non-clinical workers that are in healthcare. And I think that, you know, for a long time, we had a shortage of coders. We may start to see, you know, supply chain. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're developing these programs like you have with Catawba Valley Community College, with Appalachian State, with other programs through our colleges and universities that are going to help develop a pipeline of talent here and keep them here, potentially in the state of North Carolina. With all that being said, you know, what other types of education, like internship programs, you know, what other types of programs like that when it comes to developing that next generation? What other programs are you involved with? Have you worked with, you know, whether it's all the way down to the high school? We're talking about getting folks introduced at the high school, even middle school level in healthcare profession. So what are you doing around that? What types of programs are you involved in there?
Yes. So I do go to career fairs, whether it is at a middle school. I've even gone to a handful of, I'll call them career fairs at elementary schools, of just introducing the profession. So all the way down to the elementary level and then through the high school level, and then even the collegiate level with some local colleges in town. But the emphasis, to your point, is the students that are phasing from high school and into adulthood and into the working environment. And so one of the things, and I did a lot of volunteer work in Texas, so I'm going to back up just a little bit. Okay. I volunteered a lot with All-Pro Dads and Junior Achievement in Texas. And as I'm having these conversations with these students about entrepreneurship, financial literacy, just basic business operations and things of that nature, I found this huge gap of not necessarily what they're learning, but what they're exposed to within the high schools to what college is. And, you know, we've talked extensively, not just, I mean, just as a population about 4-year degrees. You know, when I went through high school, it was got to get your bachelor's. And even to this day, you know, my son is going through that exact same thing, and he's going to be graduating in a month's time. But there's this high level, this high pressure of achieving a bachelor's degree. You got to go to a 4-year, got to go. And here I am, I'm trying to balance that the parent side of me with the realistic side. And it's a very difficult thing for me, at least internally, because I see what's happening within the high schools and the conversations that I'm having with the high school students of, yeah, I got to go to a four year. And I'm like, you've got this beautiful school within Catawba County, the community college. They offer a wide variety of programs. But it, to your question, it starts in, I've gone all the way down from the elementary level, again, all the way up into the high school. But working with the high schoolers is where I'm seeing the interest and in the engagement. Of course, you're not going to get that with an elementary or middle schooler, but at least introducing them to the idea of what supply chain is. And I'll tell you, though, it's really fun working with the elementary and the middle schoolers, because I'll bring props to these schools. I'll bring like purchase orders, right? So we don't typically deal with cash. We're not exchanging cash. And I'll bring purchase orders and I'll bring cash. And I'll literally set up a little mini type of supply chain where it's a consumer and a supplier. And I'll say, okay, we're gonna role play here and we're gonna exchange monies, and I whether it's a purchase order or a dollar. And 100% of the time, the kids always gravitate towards the dollar, and naturally so, because that's what they're known about. And I said, but I've got this purchase order here. So if you're a business owner and I've got this purchase order for $1 million, that's me committing $1 million to your business for a product or service. I said, but here's me with $10. I said, so you're willing to take this $10 commitment because it's cash. It's right there. It's immediate. You can put your hands on it. You can go and turn around and spend it, or you can take this $1 million purchase order. And that's where the interest comes in. They say, well, what's a purchase order? Or how does a purchase order work? Or how do you get paid then? And so it generates these questions that you wouldn't really expect from elementary students. And, you know, that's the fun part, is because I'm able to bring those props. I'm able to do those things with them. But the high schoolers is really where it's at, because those are our next generation of workers in the immediate and short term future.
Right. Well, I listening to what you're talking about, and trust me, I've had my fair share of interaction with the elementary school kids. And that's a whole another story for a different podcast. But they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for, I think, sometimes. So I love the idea of using the props and trying to explain and getting them to ask more questions, because that's really what it's about, is that curiosity and the interaction that somebody's willing to have with them. You know, and I can certainly see, you know, when you're talking about supply chain, again, it doesn't have to be healthcare. Obviously, we would love for them to be a part of a healthcare system. But, you know, the whole piece of, you know, how does this one product, right, this manufactured product, whether it's a designer pair of shoes for the girls, or, you know, it's, you know, a football, you know, for, you know, some of the boys, some of the girls, some of the boys, it doesn't matter. But how does that get from point A to point B? And how do you go about purchasing that, like with the purchase orders. So I really think that's fascinating that you're doing that, and it's being able to provide that kind of interaction and concrete example. That's what is, because some, that's the way some people learn, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And so my internships, whether it's for a college student or a high school student, is the same. I'm putting them through the same type of rigor as I would if they were an employee coming into the department. Because my thought is that if I don't expose them to what work really is, when they go into that field, if it is supply chain, and I gave them a 5-month internship where they just sat down, I don't know, answering phones or sorting papers, you know, unless they get into that field outside of their internship, and when they move on, they're going to have no idea. So my interns are working in receiving, they're working in distribution, they're being exposed to the purchasing side, you know, with respect to sourcing and contract management, and asset management and distribution. And so they're really exposed from the very beginning where the product comes through to when the product is placed or installed within the health system. And it would be no different if they were to go to a distributor and do the same type of thing. You know, if they're working in the receiving dock or their distribution or pulling orders or whatever the case may be, they're at least getting exposed to that. So my internship programs are no different between a high school student and a university student.
Right. Well, that's amazing within itself. So talking about the internship programs, it's internship, but it's also mentorship. It sounds like a lot like, can you share some of your success stories with young leaders that have come throughout your internship programs with, and like some of the mentorship that you've been able to do? And how have those internships or mentorships contributed to elevating healthcare within the community that you're living in and you're working in?
Yeah, so an example, I want to go back to my time in Texas where I worked with Junior Achievement. Everything you hear about Texas, about baseball and football being very very prominent within the youth community is absolutely true. There's a lot of time and devotion and energy spent to develop these young athletes into these professional athletes. And so where we lived, it was a small town. And with Junior Achievement, I was going into the high schools and talking about, you know, some of the concepts that Junior Achievement references through their programs. And I mentioned early on, there was a discrepancy sort of what I was talking about and what they thought reality was. And there was a particular student whose family had really spent a lot of time and money and resources on developing this student into hopefully a future baseball player. And he really, he was that student that you would see that was really quiet, sort of sitting in the back of the room, didn't participate much, but he was always looking up and he was always engaged. And if anybody knows me, I don't sit down very well. You know, I move around a room a lot, and I noticed this particular student would always follow me around with his eyes kind of, so he was always engaged, but he was quiet. But anyway, throughout the semester, he started warming up and being more participative. And there was a point through my mentorship through Junior Achievement that he had come forward and said, pulled me aside really after the program and said, I don't know what to do. He goes, I love baseball. I love what I do, but I don't want to be baseball. I wasn't prepared for that.
Right.
I wasn't prepared for him to come forward and say that. And I said, well, what kind of things do you like? And he said, I really enjoy working with people. I really enjoy camaraderie. I enjoy collaboration. And I didn't, like I said, I was really taken back because he was a quiet student. He was in back, didn't raise his hand, didn't engage until later on. And so I said, well, you know, are you, of course, he's active playing baseball. But anyway, I said, what are you going to do after you get out of high school? And he said, well, I was planning on playing baseball, but, you know, that was really through my parents. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. And I said, so well, let's think about first jobs. I said, everybody has to have a first job. And I said, I'm of the opinion everybody's got it. Some, your first job either has to be in retail or it's got to be in food services. I mean, I said, so that's a really good place for you to get exposed to customer service, addressing problems and fixing issues, but also working with people, both your internal and external customers. So fast forward, I see him at the local grocery store and he's working and he's got the apron on and he's working. And he just simply said, came up to me and I asked him how things were going. And he said, I love what I'm doing. He goes, I still love baseball. I'm still going to play baseball, but this is something else for me. And throughout the summer, I'd see him at the grocery store and he was a different person outside of the classroom from what I had seen him and to what he wanted to do or at least get into. And so that made me feel really good about that situation. And then even here, fast forward to Catawba, you know, I've had some high school students come through and I've had some college students come through. One in particular who is a very near dear friend of my wife and I and our family really is Josh. He was an LR student, come through the program. He was a successful student and intern, ended up getting a nice job up at Carilion Clinic in their contracting team. And so, you know, he's managing a large portfolio of service contracts, just really excelling. And so those stories really excite me. And then of course, my current intern, Chloe from LR, you know, she's going to be working for a local furniture manufacturer. And so, I mean, there are other stories very similar, but those, when you're able to make that connection to the individual school with the internship, what they're learning and what the industry is, that's what I find exciting. That's what I find the most joy out of.
Well, and I think that those are great stories too. And I know that has to make you feel almost like a proud parent when you see somebody that's excelling at what they want to do and what's important to them in an industry that's important to them. So I commend you for that, because, you know, there's nothing better than seeing somebody, you know, be successful and be happy at the same time. So kudos to you.
Yeah.
So how important is it for you and the community too, to have that kind of homegrown next generation supply chain leader, and what kind of benefit does it have for the healthcare system?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. It's absolutely critical to grow your own homegrown. When I'm of the opinion, when you grow your own succession plan, when you grow your own pipeline and you reinvest in the students and in the community, you then become the destination for people wanting to either move to your community or work to your community. And so it's absolutely critical and important and very near to me, which is why I do a lot of stuff in the community is, you know, I don't want us to have to go to Charlotte or Winston-Salem or compete with the Greenvilles. I want them to want to come here and work and live. And I want them to be able to see that through some of these community efforts and initiatives and through programs such as the Supply Chain Management Academy through the community college. And so, again, ultimately, I want Catawba to be the destination. I want it to be here. And so if we can show the community that we're investing in them and we are trying to grow them and we're trying to make them successful and give them opportunities here within our own area or our own community, I think it's not only going to pay itself back, but it will be a sustainable effort.
And do you also think that by investing in, you know, the youth, the next generation, to whether it's supply chain or another position within a healthcare organization, do you feel like that investment that creates more of a trust factor with our health systems and our hospitals?
100%, without a doubt. And when I go out into the community and I'm talking about jobs, yes, I would love for these people to join my department. The reality is I don't have any open positions, and you know, asking for positions is always somewhat of a difficult task. And so I say, well, we've got these positions in these departments. And then that's where I can talk about the organization. I can talk about the leadership, and I can really brag on the opportunities that exist. And so if we can get these individuals into the health system and our health system look like and be the community that we serve is so important. And so as we're out there, you know, as I'm volunteering and doing whatever I am in the community and I'm wearing my badge, I feel like I'm representing the health system to the community and making that connection with whatever I'm volunteering on back into the community so that they can see that, yes, Catawba really is the center of the community, and we are that community hub. And, you know, this is where people go to heal and those sorts of things. So
switching gears just a little bit, and this is your opinion, there's no right or wrong answer to this, but in your opinion, what are some of the biggest challenges that are being faced with healthcare industry supply chain, and how are you at Catawba Valley? What are you doing? How are you trying to address those issues?
I would say the biggest issue is the barrier into supply chain. And what I mean by the barrier is people don't really know that healthcare supply chain exists. People, when they go to a hospital or a clinic, there's just this expectation that someone's going to be there to take care of them and the health system's going to have what they need to take care of that patient. We're definitely unseen, oftentimes unheard of. And so it's getting that acknowledgement out into the community that this profession exists within a health system, and it's critical to the operations of a health system, particularly when you're talking about, you know, the patient experience or patient care. So, you know, when I'm out there and I'm, even if it's a Friday night and I'm just talking with friends unrelated to work, I'm talking about healthcare supply chain. I'm saying, hey, have you thought about getting a job in healthcare supply chain, whether it's on the provider or the supplier side? It don't matter to me, just as long as you're within the industry. So,
right.
You know, I'm even advocating for the dark side. So,
well, and again, going back to, you know, the first part of our conversation, supply, I don't think people actually realize how much supply chain is connected to the rest of the organization. You know, people don't put two and two together sometimes. If you're not in this industry, of how this widget saved this person's life, right? What was that connectivity? How did that piece of equipment, whether it, let's say it's a pacemaker or a, you know, the quality of life for somebody to have even by, you know, a joint replacement or something of that nature, you know, I don't think that there's that connectivity a lot of times. And so there is a lot of connection between how the CEO got that pen that's sitting in their office or, you know, that joint or that, you know, life-saving heart transplant, that type of thing. So I think it's really interesting how, yes, supply chain is connected to every department within an healthcare organization, period.
Yeah. And it goes back to what I was talking about with the internships and going to career fairs and going to elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools and saying, this is supply chain. And one of the very first questions when I go into these schools is, and I'm talking about supply chain, I ask them, how many of you have been to a hospital or a doctor's office and had a bandage, stitches, an x-ray or anything like that, or you had someone in your family? And 100% of the time, students' hands go up. And I say, how do you think that product or that equipment or that hospital bed got there? And zero people raise their hand and zero people have any idea. And so that's where I come in and I talk about supply chain. I said supply chain's role is to make sure that the health system has what they need to make sure that you are taken care of or someone in your family or another person is taken care of. I said, we are definitely behind the scenes making that happen. I said, but it's critical to the operations and to the execution of the patient experience and patient care. But that's where I begin that conversation and I introduce the props, because I'll bring hospital supplies and I'll bring it there so that they can make that connection of, okay, the product comes through to receiving, it goes up, and then the patient's taken care of. But that's how I'm trying to get supply chain elevated in terms of the community and the students and the profession and the importance of what we do for a health system.
So what kind of initiatives or projects is Catawba are going on in the Catawba community that you are particularly excited about?
So we just opened up the Heart Center. That was an expansion of our, you know, cath lab services, the heart vascular services. Very excited about that. The organization is still expanding and going through the renovation processes for the emergency department. We have bought the most advanced type of MRI equipment so that we can get those images and we can help better diagnose and we can see those issues with a patient when they come in through and use our services for that. The rebranding of the heart of the community for Catawba Valley Health System and the initiative to have Catawba be the heart of the community, where we are the center of the community. We are going to be a staple and a cornerstone for the community to always be here and to serve the community. There's just so many, and of course the support that my executive team that I report to has with me going out into the community and volunteering and going to these events is huge. That right there is probably the most critical piece, is having my executive team support going out there and representing Catawba Valley Health System.
Well, I think that says a lot about your leadership, that they are willing to kind of share you with others in the community, share your knowledge, share your expertise with, you know, helping to build these programs that, you know, could very well benefit the organization as a whole. So, you know, I think that says volumes about your leadership, and, you know, we can't thank them enough every day for what they do. Sometimes we see everything they do. Sometimes we don't. Kind of like supply chain, you're sometimes just behind the scenes, and that's okay. That is, somebody's got to be there, right?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give a young professional, someone that's interested in pursuing a degree or a career in supply chain, especially healthcare supply chain?
Well, I'll tell you, if the person is listening and they're in my community, I would say register and go to the Supply Chain Management Academy through the community college. That's a selfish plug, but that's a very good start, because you're going to get introduced to supply chain if they're not already within the profession itself. But I would say learn as much as you can about supply chain. So if they're already working in a different industry, maybe, you know, as a receiving or inventory clerk or something like that, that's still supply chain, and learn what it is that you are doing, what impact that has on the overall operations of that organization. So if you make a receiving error, understand what those financial impacts are, and just expose yourself to the many different areas within supply chain. And then specifically towards healthcare, I would say get in where you can. Oftentimes people are faced, particularly students coming out of college, who have 2 or 4 years of college experience, but when they go to apply for a job, it says that they need 4 or 6 years of experience. And so it's that right there is a huge barrier. And so for that, for people that want to get into healthcare supply chain, I say, get in where you can, And then when those opportunities open up within supply chain, you can make that move. I'm not of the opinion that I'm not going to hire somebody because they don't necessarily have that 4 or 6 years. I'm going to look at that person's character. I'm going to look at, you know, some of the things that they achieved, whether through school or through their other job. And then, of course, just personality. I mean, I love people who really just like to talk and, you know, who can break away from work for a little bit. And so, again, to the question, get in where you can, and then if, however you need to migrate to supply chain within healthcare, do it. Supply chain for some of these health systems are huge. You know, some have central distribution centers, and, you know, that's a wide variety of different roles. Some have centralized procurement or sourcing. So the opportunities are there. They exist. They're abundant. You just got to see where you can get in to get into the supply chain.
Yeah, I think that that's great advice. It's simple, but it speaks volumes as to, you know, sometimes you're going to have to start in a position that you may not think is quite right for you or where you think you should be. But there's always so much to learn, you know, coming in at ground level, maybe a different department, and then how you can, like you said, transfer over into more of a supply chain role.
Well, really quickly, I want to just bring something up. I guess it's been a couple interns ago, we were having a similar type of conversation, and she said, well, you know, she really aspired to be a high-level executive within an organization, particularly in supply chain management. And she said, how do I climb that ladder? And I said, first of all, we're going to scratch this whole ladder concept, especially in supply chain. And I said, you got to think of supply chain when you're trying to elevate your career in supply chain. I said, you really got to think of it in terms of lattice, you know, like the wood lattice you put up. I said, because they're going to be vertical, but they're not going to be straight up vertical. They're going to be like a lattice is. So, you know, I illustrated with my hands, you know, the whole zigzag. I said, you might start out as a receiving clerk and then go into distribution. You know, depending on your organization structure, that may be a promotion. I said, you might go into maybe from distribution to, I don't know, logistics, and then into sourcing, and then into contracting. And I said, so when you think of elevating yourself in supply chain, you got to really think of it as lattice more than a ladder climb. And so I've followed this particular individual through LinkedIn and other means. And that's exactly what she's doing. She started out as a buyer, and then she went as a sourcing analyst. And then now she's this contract analyst. But every time you see these changes, you see a different subset of roles that she's engaged in. And so, yeah.
That's a perfect visual, you know, lattice. I got it as soon as you said it, you know, because it might be a semi-lateral move,
yeah,
in an elevation. And, you know, so yeah, I totally get that. So thank you for the visual. Last question, Patrick. So this is one that, you know, how can listeners kind of help you? So how can listeners support Catawba Valley, the Supply Chain Academy, and follow, or even follow in your footsteps, create some type of academy in their market?
So I recently, so at Catawba Valley, I would say as a adjunct professor, I report up into the executive dean, Gary Moeller. And I had mentioned to him, I said, I want this program, and I think I mentioned it to Alex too, I want this program in every community college in North Carolina. I want to sit down and have those conversations with the community colleges and the community business leaders and those local county government officials, whether if they have an economic development branch or if they have a chamber. I want to meet with them. I want every community college to have something similar. because I am biased towards healthcare, but with what I'm seeing North Carolina doing in terms of bringing manufacturing here, expanding manufacturing across any kind of industry, North Carolina is going to be a huge hub globally for supply chain talent. And even though a university is good to find that talent, we need to do a better job. Again, going back to earlier conversation about home growing and reinvesting in our own community, in our own people that live in our community. And so, but doing so that we partner with those universities so that if the student does want to continue their higher ed, they have a direct pathway to that. And so, again, you know, I think the way that we can support this is, you know, if I'm reaching out to a community college and they happen to come across this and I reach out to you, you know, keep an open ear to it. At least let me, you know, take 10 minutes of your time to explain how important it is and then the potential impact it's going to have on your community. That's the biggest way to support.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, something that you just said a few moments ago, you know, with the manufacturing, we're going to start to see, I believe, my personal opinion, we're going to start to see a lot more of the manufacturing come back, hopefully, to North Carolina. I know that our legislation is pulling for that. So a lot of like reshoring, next shoring. So that next shoring, having those manufacturing plants right next to where they really deliver, where those products are needed. So I can see a lot of that. And if that truly is the case, then we are going to definitely need more supply chain education, more supply chain, you know, filling different jobs within supply chain, and even more educated supply chain leaders that are truly educated throughout how all of supply chain works. So I can totally see that happening. And what, you know, obviously we'll help you as much as we can try to get a program like this across the state of North Carolina with our community colleges, listening to what our hospitals are saying, what healthcare providers are saying, all across the state. So we're right there with you as a partner. So Patrick, thank you so much for engaging in this conversation, being a part of our podcast. So just FYI, you are our first NCHA member guest. And again, thank you so much. Really appreciate the conversation.
No, thank you for having me. Again, I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I'm thrilled to be on this podcast. And, you know, whatever we can do to help grow healthcare, I'm all for it. So even if a supplier happens to come across this, you know, we have medical goods manufacturing here. They play just as much of a role into all of this as anybody else. And so really trying to grow this, you know, we've mentioned this before, homegrown, it's got to be homegrown. We got to reinvest in our own community, in our own people that live in our communities. And I think through this program, through the academy, through the community college, and hopefully across the state, we can do that. And we can become, again, a destination for manufacturers who want to do business, expand in North Carolina.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for your time today. And we'll hopefully have another conversation in the very near future.
I hope so. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Solutions Insider, brought to you by NCHA Strategic Partners and co-produced by Healthcare Experience Foundation. If you want to learn more about our solutions, please visit ncha.org/strategic-partners.